in his light. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Great are his wonders and grand his ways. Come, let us worship the Lord.
Heavens will claim,
Jesus shall reign.
Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Let us worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Come, let us worship the Lord. Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Son of Jehovah, yet Son of Man, conquering lion, yet suffering lamb. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord forever. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord. Sing to the God of eternity, come, let us worship the Lord. He is the King, rise up and sing. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Sing to the Victor on Calvary. Come, let us worship the Lord.
Honor the Son,
Jesus has won.
Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Let us worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Come, let us worship the Lord. Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Son of Jehovah, yet Son of Man, conquering lion, yet suffering lamb. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord forever. Worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord. Worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Come, let us worship, worship, come, let us worship the Lord.
Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate or give it to an usher. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Also, will you refer to your the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled during the week and next Sunday. And also, we'd like to point out one of the inserts in your bulletin is on our missions outreach and concerning a program put on by the Voice of the Martyrs, and we are collecting clothing for infants to adults for people in other countries. If you have any questions regarding that, please talk to Helen Menig or Mary Tomlinson. Because this is the last Sunday of the month, please note in your bulletin that all activities for this afternoon, after our service at Pacific Hills Manor, are canceled. Everyone is invited to join our monthly fellowship luncheon directly following this service for good food and fellowship. Also, tomorrow is Memorial Day, and where we remember those that have fallen, given their lives in the defense of our country. And so we honor them and pray for the families and all those that are currently engaged in the defense of our country. And we are grateful that we live in a country founded by men and framers of the Constitution who, for the most part, were Christians. Our scripture reading printed in your bulletin is from Psalm 147, verse 7. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship with hymn number 530, the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Thank you.
us continue our worship now with hymn number 231, Jesus Saves. Stand as we sing hymn number 228, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place.
Remain standing for prayer. Lord, in this wonderful and beautiful day in Morgan Hill, California, the United States of America, we are so blessed by your care upon our life and the care upon our country. And as we celebrate Memorial Day tomorrow, Father, we are called into our mind the hundreds of people they have died for the cause of America. From the time that the British and the Hollanders and the French came until today, the blood of those men testify that we are free and that we are brave. We thank you, Father, for this country who was the light of the world in the gospel. And we pray that that light never will go out, that each church in America will stand and the truth of God, the Bible, who is the light to our life. As a body of believers here in Morgan Hill, we are glad, Father, that we can pray for those who have fallen with different sickness. We remember our queen, Loretta Forrest, and we are glad that the surgery took place and that she is much, much better and the pain relief. We pray, Lord, for our missionary Fred Lewis, who just had a very serious surgery in one of the shoulders, and he's eager to go back to Siberia. Lord, give him wisdom and what to do next, and first and most, that he may recover. We pray for our friend in Costa Rica, our brother Jerry West, and we pray that you work in his body a miracle in such a way that when he goes again in September for checkup, a miracle of God's presence and God's love be done in his body. Lord, we are aware that some of our young people are away from home. And we pray for Adrian in Switzerland. And we pray for Maria, who is in Africa, and for Lara, who is in the Dominican Republic. Lord, I'm going to pray like I pray every morning for my grandchildren. Put your umbrella upon their life, regardless the circumstances, regardless the difficulties, and regardless the environment. Put your umbrella upon our children, that they will return safety at home. Lord, we have the opportunity to worship here at home, but our extended church is expanding as more and more emails are coming via the radio, the internet, the tape ministry, and the CD ministry. And so we pray for those in New Jersey and Maryland and New York and Texas and New Mexico and Arizona. We pray for those in Costa Rica who are listening, for those in Panama and Italy and Korea and Japan. Thank you, Lord. We cannot reach them personally, but we are there as a body of extended church, people who are the love, the word of God, and they are listening today. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. And then, Lord, we pray for our missionaries. We mentioned Fred Lewis, Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain, Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Malaga, Spain, David and Denise Rode in Papua, New Guinea, Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala, Marta Paretti in Argentina, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center right here in the city of San Jose, in the city of Gilroy, the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, and Daniel and Miriam Lacey, as Daniel today have a big race and is coming home, I think, tomorrow. Bless him, give him words of wisdom as he speaks to those car drivers who are looking for a prize. And Lord, be with us today as we're going to read the Word of God. The choir is going to praise your name. And with a humble spirit, allow me, Father, to show the clarity of your Word concerning this tremendous text in the book of Ephesians. We are one faith and one God and one Spirit. Oh God, depending on you, we are grateful because you provide for our church. Sunday after Sunday, your people gave with sacrifice. And so we can open the doors of the building. We can pay our bills for the internet. We can pay our bills for sending the tapes. We charge nobody anything like Jesus did. He never charged anybody. And so, Father, we do the same. But your people are grateful and are paying the bill, knowing that the Word of God is like a seed going into the hearts of people, which at due time will flourish, and the life of Christ will be in their heart. Thank you, Lord, for such a loving people that you have for me to be their pastor. In Jesus, we are grateful. Amen.
Encamped along the hills of life, ye praises all to rise, and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the boding bells below and all the safety earth, it is the victory we know that overcomes the world. On every hand the foe we find drawn up in dread array. Let tents of ease be left behind and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head with truth all girt about. Earth shall tremble neath our feet and echo with a shout.
Examine over us is the our sword, the word of God.
We tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph trod.
By faith and like a whirlwind stress left on every field,
the faith by which they conquer death is still our shining shield. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven.
Then onward from the hills of light our hearts of love aflame.
We'll vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. In Jesus' conquering name.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 689. We will be reading Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the miracle of salvation through Jesus Christ, whereby you have adopted us, and we can call you our Father with confidence. We pray that by the Holy Spirit's power, we would walk worthy of our calling, that we would exhibit good character with all diligence, adding to our faith virtue. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. We thank you that he is able to bring your whole counsel from the scriptures without fear or intimidation from any source. Bless him, we pray, as he delivers the message you would have us hear from your word. Bless all those listening here and on the radio and internet and tape and CD, that we may all be edified by pastor's preaching, and that we would apply that which we hear to all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you. We are glad to see Henry Jun back from Korea, 3 weeks plus. Went over there. I know Tayan is not here today, and she may be sick, but what a joy to have them back with us in fellowship again. When I received, I had two or three from Korea that write, and it's just so wonderful. They have a warm spirit in the Lord, and Tayan and Henry have demonstrated the love for our church on more than one occasion. Let's have a brief word of prayer. Father, without your word, we have nothing to say. And without your spirit, we are helpless. Therefore, give us your word today and let the spirit show us your way. In Jesus we pray, amen. If you have a Bible with you, or if you are listening and you have a Bible with you, you can turn your Bible to the book of Ephesians here in our church. The book of Ephesians chapter 4 is on page 689. We have been involved in the study of faith during the entire month of May. Unbelievable, we are reaching the end of the month of May. We study the faith of Abraham, and we saw that his faith was demonstrated or illustrated by his belief. Abraham said the Bible twice, he believes God. We study the mother's faith, remember on Mother's Day, and a faith that is genuine, a faith that is not phony, a faith that is real, and was also in the life of Timothy. We study the behavior of faith that transforms people. That makes you entirely different. A faith that give you an idea of who you are, and now you are in a battlefield between your old nature and the new nature, but that faith can conquer your life. There is no justification for wrongdoing. That's what that sermon was designed to. Now, today, I'd like to call your attention to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 to 6. And I entitle this section of the scripture, Faith Illustrated by Simplification. You know, when you read those big books in chemistry, they are thick and big, and as you read them, by the time you are in page 100, you are all confused. It's so many formulas and so many things. But the Bible is not like that. It's simple, it's direct, and it's powerful. And I want you to follow me this morning. Thank God I have 5 extra minutes today so that I can enjoy sharing with you the scripture in my favorite book of the Bible. My PhD was done on the book of Ephesians. And so I know it by hand. I have a Bible, an old German Bible, German and Greek in my office. All apart is now where I translated word by word, letter by letter, the whole entire book. That was my thesis, and I enjoy this book so well. I benefit my soul in believing right before the Lord. Now, here, Paul give us what the Catholics will call a catechism. Now, catechism is a good word. Catechism means instructions and principles of Christianity. That's what catechism means, taught by question and answer. All right? Kato means in Greek to question, kism, to question over and over. And so the learning of question and answer in catechism. Now here Paul simplify our faith, our doctrine in a marvelous way. I'm going to read verse 4, verse 5, and verse 6. And when a word is repeated in the Bible, you know that there is an emphasis there. All right, let's count together. Let's see if I can count how many times the word one are in these three verses. All right, verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God the Father. 7, is that right? 7, I got it right? I got it right, 7. 7 times God said one. Is that simple? One. More simple? Impossible. One. When somebody trying to teach you a doctrine where there's a lot of points, open your eyes well, because Bible is not in that way. It's one. One. So this morning we're going to study that oneness of God, in a marvelous way so that you can jot down, this is the doctrine of salvation. And that's what I selected from here. This is the doctrine that will save my life from the wrath of God and the day of judgment. And it's only one thing, only one thing. But you need to be aware of this oneness. I want to have five for you. I cannot have seven. This clock in the back don't allow me. But I just want to have five for you. Follow me. I'm going to use some Hebrew scriptures because I have to, otherwise you get a little bit confused. So those who don't like when I mention Hebrew, please bear with me. Very, very simple. Okay? And I even wrote in Hebrew here. So, it's my favorite language. Okay, here we are. There is one God, Ephesians 6 verse 4. One God and Father of some people. No? Of all. You see it? One God and Father of all. There is one God. Now the great question. Who is he? Will you turn your Bible to the book of Isaiah, chapter 45, verse 5, page 432. So now I do it in the reverse. Page 432. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 5. Remember, there is one God. Who is he? Look at what the Bible says. I read the English and then I give you some flavor from the Hebrew. The English said, I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Now, you read that in English, and Lord could be many things, all right? The Lord, you say in English, could be the Lord of the Muslims, the Lord of the Baha'i people, the Lord of the Japanese people, Buddha, the Lord. The Hebrew is precise. So I read it from you in Hebrew, all right? Ani Yahweh Shie Melhe. Translation. I, Jehovah. Because Jehovah means I am. Yahweh means I am. I, Jehovah. Lo. In Hebrew, when somebody says lo, means there is none other God beside me. Jehovah. I'm Jehovah. Now that narrows God to one. You know, in English you said, I am the Lord and there is no else. Who is the Lord? Jehovah. Jehovah. Now I wonder why. Why Jehovah? Well, you turn your Bible to Hosea, chapter 13, verse 4. Hosea is after Daniel. And it's in page 533. Why Jehovah? Why God identify himself and narrow down to one person, Jehovah. There is one God. And now we learn that, yeah, there is one God. His name is Jehovah. Why? Hosea 13, verse 4, page 533. Now notice, if you have a King James, please, that's the clue. I'm preaching with a King James. That's the clue. The King James carry the word Jehovah in by the word Lord in capital letters. So it's easy to identify when the King James said Jehovah. The Catholic Bible said Jehovah. Now here it is. Yet, Hosea 13:4. Are you there? Yet I am the Lord my God from the land of Egypt. I'm Jehovah, your Elohim from the land of Egypt. And thou shalt know no God but me. Why? Here it is. For there is no Savior beside me. Wow. Wow. There is no Savior beside me. The day of wrath and the presence of God can be a tough day if you do not have Jehovah with you. You will be sent to hell forever if you have no Jehovah with you. That's why we insist, be careful when you read. We are not dreaming people. We read the scripture. Well, read the scripture. And if you have an English Bible, you can do as well as me. If you know that the word Lord in capital letters means Yahweh. So there is one God. Who is that God? Jehovah. Why? Because he is the only one who qualify to save my life before the great day of judgment. And now, the obvious question. Where do I find him? Turn your Bible to John chapter 8 and verse 58, page 628. John chapter 8 and verse 58, page 628, if you are using our Bible here. Here's what the Bible said. Now Jesus talking. Jesus said, now remember the Jehovah, you have to remember a little Hebrew back, okay, before we read the text. In Hebrew, how do you say I am? You say Yahweh. That's why the Hebrew language have no presence. If you study Hebrew, the action is past. If the action have not taken place, the action is future. But there is no presence. You know why? Only God can be present everywhere. What an easy language to learn. Now here's what it is. Now with that in mind, with that grammar lesson, that Yahweh is only present tense for God, let's read now in the Greek language what Jesus said. Jesus said this in John 8:58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, what is that word? I am. Yahweh. Ani. Wow. What? Ani esteem. In Hebrew. Yahweh. What, Jesus? I am. So there is only one God and one person who represents that God, the Lord Jesus Christ. People say, well, you have to love everybody. Hold it. God doesn't love everybody. He said, if you are in Christ, I love you. If you are not in Christ, you burn in hell. What a terrible God. No, no, it's not a terrible God. He is God. We don't have a flashy, flashy God. Some people say, is he against the homosexual? Is he against this? He's against sin. Whatever that sin is, could be a simple liar. There is one God. Remember Isaiah 6:4. Who is the God? Jehovah. How do I know Jehovah? You have to know Jesus. You have to know Jesus. And when you know Jesus, you know Jehovah. Now, I don't have that reference, but I show it to you. John 1, verse 18. John 1, verse 18. That will confirm what I said. If you know Jesus, you know God. John chapter 1, I don't have the Bible reference, but it is Matthew, and there is Mark, and there is Luke, and then John. Four gospels to tell us four different psychological makeups of the Lord Jesus. Now here it is, John 1:18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So when you know Jesus, you know Jehovah. You got it? Is that clear? If you don't like Jesus, you don't like my God. You don't like the God that will save you. Remember Hosea chapter 13? He said, there is no Savior beside me. You maybe take a class in a Baptist school. You maybe take a class in catechism. You maybe take everything. There is no Savior before him. We have a funeral this week on a glorious father. And the priest said over there from the scripture, alone he wasn't the scripture, he was marvelous. He said from the scripture clearly that Christ can help you, he said. I never forgot those words. I wanted to say hello to him and congratulate him. Christ can help you. That's right. That's no Catholic or Baptist or Protestant. That's what the Bible says. There is one God. All right. Next one. There is one problem. Boy, are you glad there's only one problem? Are you glad? Are you glad, Raquel, there's only one problem? It's not me, this one. There is one problem. All right, what is it? Let's turn your Bible to Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, page 664. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, page 664. There is one problem. The people say, well, the problem is they raise the price on the gasoline. The problem is the gold went to $760 announce. The problem is the euro. The problem is, ladies and gentlemen, that is not the problem. There's only one right here. Romans 5:12. Are you ready? Wherefore, as by one anthropos, you know what anthropos means? Anthropology means mankind. Wherefore, as by one man sin, S-I-N, enter into the world, and sin is amartia, which means disobedience to God, enter into the world, and death by sin, and so death passeth upon all men, for all have sinned. That's the problem. Sin came at the very origin of this world. How old was Adam when he sinned? I have no idea. Neither I have any interest in finding out. But I tell you, when he sinned, the Bible says so. Go to the first book of the Bible in Genesis chapter 3. And look with me, verse 6. If you recall in Genesis 2, 15 to 17, God said to Adam, you can have everything you want to. Isn't that great? You think a man will be satisfied with that? Even a man without sin. Even a man without sin. He was without sin. Perfect. Like a Maserati. Perfect. All right? Perfect. And God said, this creation of yours, you tell an elephant to go over there and go. You try in the zoo to tell the elephant, go over there. They don't obey you. But then the Bible said that whatever he commands, he did. He looked on it, that star, that's the name of that star. He doesn't need a telescope. People say, oh, look at the telescope. Well, that's too bad. God gave us eyes without sin. We can see, we own everything. We spend millions and billions of dollars and have a telescope on the space. And Adam sit down and he looked at the space and can read it. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't know God if you don't read the Bible. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, God said, you can have anything. You can have these. Remember that man alone is bad. A woman alone can survive, but a man alone cannot survive. And he look around, he see a tiger, so I don't like it. He see a cat, I don't like it. He see a fish, I don't like it. So God said, I'm going to cause trouble for you. I'm going to create a wife. I sleep in the sofa tonight, that's all right. and he created Eve. And remember the expression? It's so good to study Hebrew because you read alive the Bible. And the expression said that when Adam saw her, he said, wow! Miss Universe. Yeah, right, there was no other girl in town. But God said, you can have everything, but of these two trees, you cannot touch it. You think a man having everything, he never worried about touching the trees. He maybe never did, but Satan did. And we go to chapter 3, verse 6, and we read, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, and now come the choice, with her, and he did eat. That's where all the trouble is. It's not the Arabs, it's not the Turkish, it's not the Indians people, it's not the Mexican people. The trouble is everybody who is born in this world is selfish. Wants himself. He's proud. Sin. So there is only one problem, ladies and gentlemen. So when you read the paper, they miss it. They miss it. I keep writing to the Mercury, to the editor. So will you publish these little letters? The problem in America is not the Spanish, is not the Indians, is not the Asian people. The problem in America is we are born in sin. Signed, Gabriel Otero. And they don't ever publish. I wonder if I pay, they will publish. And why? Because that's it. People say, well, that's ignorant. There's no ignorant. I read it from the Bible. I read it from the Bible. And this book, the King James Bible, is 500 years old plus. It has been good for my great-great-great-grandfather. It's good for me. I tell you, it's wonderful. There is one problem, and the problem is sin. It's rolling up. There is one revelation. It happened in your life. At one time, remember the crisis in oil in 74? Some of you are too young. But in 74 was a crisis in oil. And I, as a pastor, I was working in the radio. So I have a car as a chaplain of the radio, and I can have oil when I want it. And I was putting oil in Fremont, and where I live, and came one man, really mad. He said, "Slow down, man." So what happened? Oh, he said, "My wife have another revelation." I said, "Revelation?" He said, "That's very good." "No, it's no good." "Yeah, that means she have read another chapter of the Bible," I told him. "No, you don't. You follow me." So I follow him. I want to see this. And he said, "My wife, look in that window. You see that lamp over there?" "Yes." There was a loose lamp with a little wind you can move. He said, "My wife said, the Spirit is moving the lamp." So I said, "Señora, it's true that you look there and that's moving and the Spirit is speaking to you." "Yeah." He says, "Revealing to me something." I said, "What did you eat last night? Because it could be something that you eat and cause you problems." She said, "Why?" See, this lady didn't know that there is only one revelation. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you are listening to me in Korea or listening to me in Japan, and you also do not know that there is one revelation. Turn your Bible, please, to 2 Timothy 3:16, page 702. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. There is only one revelation. Here it is. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, page 702. Look at what the Bible says. All Scripture is breathed. The Bible, the King James used the word inspire, is breathed out by God and is profitable, is good for teaching. Doctrine is teaching, didaskalos, didactic teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. All Scripture, that's it, nothing else. You want to have a wise child, you teach them the Bible. Our brother Leo has shared many times with me how his grandmother had read the Bible to him, and that glued us together, because my grandmother did the same thing to me, Leo. And that was a benefit. You grow up, you never know, but you have the Bible already inside you, and nobody can fool you anymore. Amazing. It's only one revelation. It's called the Bible. The Bible. One revelation. People say, "Oh, that's not true," but they never read it. Is the Bible. That's only one revelation that came from God. God never wrote any other book except the Bible. Now, how, people said, and how did God wrote the Bible? Well, the Bible is explaining to you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, page 716. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20 and 21, the Bible explained how it was written. Page 716. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20. "Knowing these first of all, that no prophecy of the Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation." That's my interpretation of the text. The Scripture did not come from some people's interpretation. How the Scripture came, verse 21. "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man," means created by a man, "but holy men of God," men separated by God, "spake as it were moved by the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit dictated to them the Scripture. It's amazing. The Holy Scripture came in because God separated some men. That one means holy, agion, separated. God separated some men in the Bible, you know, Jeremiah, Isaiah, to dictate that. Now, I give you an example of this. Go to the New Testament, to the book of Acts in chapter 1, verse 16, page 639. Page 639, Acts chapter 1, verse 16. There is a recall by Dr. Luke, a physician, a recall of how Scripture came about. The Bible reads in Acts 1, 16, "Men and brethren, the Scripture has to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit is spoke before by the mouth of David." You got it? The Holy Spirit is spoke through the mouth of David. And that's a Hebrew expression to say through the pen of David. This Scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit penned down through David. And so David wrote the book of Psalms. And he wrote the book of Psalms because he was a poet? No, he wrote the book of Psalms because God made him a poet. You know, it's fantastic. Fantastic. So I know how the scripture came together. He would say, I don't believe it. That's your problem. But I know how the scripture came together. See, some people say, prove it to me. I don't have to. I just believe it. What do I have to prove what I believe? I'm not. If I turn on the light, don't have to prove anything. No, just turn on the light come on. There is one revelation. That's the problem. I want you to pray for me. Tomorrow, we have a big meeting in my neighborhood. Unexpected, unwanted, unrelated. Told my wife, I love plants. So I want to, we have 50 plants to put on. And so I'm going to get 7 in a selection. And you know me, I measure, turn the chain, how big is the plant, how much water can take, how much this and the other. It takes me an hour for each one to study the situation and to do the drainage on properly and so on. And now I have on the side the plant, I put 4 hours. Oh, they are impeccable. Perfect. And a guy comes in through the driveway. I don't describe the guy, but the guy came in. And I said, boy, this guy's going to ask me for money. So, you know, each time that somebody comes here from the freeway, he's asking for money. So I said, how where in my neighborhood where it's very private, somebody's going to ask me for money? It was an American, a British, actually. He came in and said, sir, he said, yes, my name is Gabriel. I said, my name is Greg. He said, how is your gutters? I said, all right. I took my gloves out. I explained to him how the gutters are put, how they shield on the gutters, and what is the dimension, what is the speed of the wind in the area, how this goes, and so on. So I'm your neighbor. I never saw him for 3 years. And we chat. Beautiful man. British. You know, a British who talks. There are some British who don't talk, but this British talk. Yeah. And I tried to talk about football, soccer. He doesn't know football, soccer. We talk about everything, so on. So Raquel said, well, I see you tomorrow in church. I identify him the pastor. Oh, he sit down. He said, I am not a churchman. Doesn't matter. The church doesn't exclude no churchman. You come in. This is for my wife, he said. It's all tell my wife. And then he go out. He said, better than that. Tomorrow you come for dinner. Oh, that means Monday. He want me right that night. So I walk outside to the street, you know, and said, what's the problem, man? I thought it was a problem with his wife. He said, pastor, I don't know what is right and what is wrong. What book do I follow to find out what is right and what is wrong? So I say, you know, you are a British fellow. We hate the British. Argentinians hate the British because you win in soccer. But because you don't know soccer, I will tell you tomorrow. Somebody give you a soul. Only God can give you a soul right in a place like that. You know? And tomorrow you pray for me because I said to him, you know, I eat meat. Oh, yeah, we British eat meat. Yeah, prepare a lot. I said, yeah, because I had chocolate then. Yeah, he said. Well, Raquel is going to make a flan, you know. You see, if you have no standard, how do you know what's right and wrong? Some people say, that, you know what the Protestants have created? Confessions of faith. From this 1500 up, when they fought the Catholic Church, rather than telling the Catholic Church this is wrong, no need to fight or to put in, no, they make a new institution, and soon in the 1600, they create confession of faith. And though I talk to Canadian pastors and to Irish pastors, and the confession of faith said this. No, listen, this is our confession of faith, the Bible. One book. There is one way to heaven. Will you open your Bible in John 14, verse 6? One way to heaven. And that's in page 633. John 14 and verse 6. Look at what the Bible says. Jesus said to him, to Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father. Here is what the Greek does for you. Spell the right preposition. No one comes to the Father except through me. No, by me. That's what people do. They read books about Jesus. That's by Jesus. No, through Jesus. Unless you have believed in him personally, you cannot go to heaven. Unless you have taken the work of Christ as your work, you cannot be justified in heaven. I am the way. It's not your church. It's not your doctrine. It's not your confessions. It's not your catechism. It's Jesus Christ, our Lord, our way to heaven. Is that simple? One way to heaven. Billy Graham used to have a campaign years ago in the 70s, a one way. Remember, there was one finger like that. One way, the Lord Jesus. Well, I'll show you why. Turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2, please. Verse 11, page 689. I'm going to read a lot of verses here so that you will understand from the scripture why he is the only way. Before Jesus came into the scenario, there was the Jewish people and the Hebrew people. And their way was the book of Leviticus, the five ceremonials, a feast. And you don't do that, goodbye. You don't go once a year to the temple, goodbye. Now look at what Jesus have done. Are you there? Ephesians 2, page 689, verse 11. Wherefore remember, said Jesus, that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, but that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, without Jesus, being aliens to the commonwealth of Israel, you were not Israelites, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's the Gentile world. No hope in the world. Now look at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who hath made of both one, that means Gentiles and Jew, and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in himself or twin one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. That's sin. And came, verse 17, and preached peace to you which are afar off, Gentiles, and to them who are nigh, the Jewish people. If the Jewish people want to be saved today, they have to be in the gospel. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophet, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fully framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Is that clear? Jesus Christ alone. He did it all. He took the Jewish people and he took the Gentiles people. He mixed them and made the Christians. That's it. So there is one way to heaven. You cannot say, my way to heaven is because I do this or I do the other. It's only one way to heaven. You have come to believe in the Lord Jesus. Now there is only one life. That clock is telling me, narrow down. One life. Do you know that there's only one life? You don't die here and are born in someplace else. Some people do that. They believe I was a turtle and now I'm a man. How stupid I can be. I should not say stupid. There is one life. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. Page 406. Way up. You got Psalms. You got Proverbs. You are on the right track. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, page 406. Look at what the Bible says. Whatsoever your hands find to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom engraved which you are going. It doesn't matter if you are rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you are American or Indian. It doesn't matter if you are Japanese or Korean or Argentinian. You're going to die and you're going to go to the grave and there is no more possibilities there. You cannot come to me and say, Pastor, pray for my uncle who died 3 years ago. I can. It's gone, said the scripture. It's gone. You cannot say, Pastor, pray for my mother as close to love as that, I can say if your mother had no Christ Jesus in her heart, I cannot pray for her because her life is gone. There's only one life and it's here. You cannot say, I get to Jesus later. You cannot say because you get out of here and you don't know what happened. Turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, page 678, page 678, 1 Corinthians 15, 55. Paul asked this question in 1 Corinthians 15, 55, page 678. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is our faith. We are saved from the wrath of God to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is only one life. You cannot say, well, I'm going to go to purgatory, or I'm going to go to this place, or I'm going to go to the other, and they're going to pump up me unto heaven. That is crazy. The only life you have is this here. And the only way to go to heaven is to take Jesus Christ right here. Right here. Now, may I ask you two questions. Can you believe it? Have you believed this? This is not a matter of knowledge. This is a matter of the heart. Have you believed this? I want to ask a second question. Have you confessed this to us? Turn your Bible to Romans 10, page 667. Romans 10, page 667. Have you confessed to us? The Bible said, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord, verse 10, and verse 9 in Romans 10, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you confess, have you confessed this? With the heart, the ones believe in his, and is justified, and with the mouth, one confess and is saved. If you are a believer, you confess that. You tell us. Verse 11, for the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Have you confessed that? Have you confessed that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? I sympathize with the gospel, doesn't save you. I like the people in the church of Bethel, doesn't save you. I like Pastor Terry speaking, doesn't save you. Have you confessed the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart? Have you confessed? Have you said, Pastor, I believe. There will be someone this morning who said, Pastor, I believe. You never done this before. And you say, Pastor, I believe. Will you raise your hand? Pastor, I believe now that Jesus Christ is my Savior. Thank you, Ann. I know you do. And somebody else, all right, who said, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior. God has spoken to your heart. You don't have problem in saying, yes, I never did this, but now I see it. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Will you come here forward? Here's a guest coming forward. All right, with me. Here's our friend. Came on Wednesday night. A neighbor of ours. Praise God. Praise God. All right, a neighbor of ours. So I'm going to be somebody else who said, yes, I believe. I never had confessed this, but now I believe it. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. All right, this is my good friend. All right, it's somebody else. I know it's scary. I know he's trembling. But it's good. All right, it's good. All right, now I'm going to say this more. If you are saved, it never have been baptized. That's the second ordinance, not sacrament. The word sacrament means makes you holy. So if I baptize you, I don't make you holy. It's an ordinance. Is anybody who need to be baptized and want to be baptized? You're going to be one candidate. And is anybody else? Will you come forward with me if you want to be baptized this coming month of July in our church? All right? There will be somebody else. You never have been baptized, and now, thank you. This is a treasure from our church. All right, what a good fruit today. I'm collecting all right. All right, is anybody else? In July, we're going to have a baptism in the Combs family. All right, the Combs? All right, you heat the pool for me. All right. It's good. It's just wonderful to obey the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. That there is one God.
and one Savior, and one way, and one life. And these two have a step out saying, we believe, and we want to be a living testimony of our faith. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you that you're still saving people. Thank you that you're still working in the hearts of people. That tells me that our preaching is not in vain. And so, Father, bless those who are listening, that they too may speak aloud and say and confess to others, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. In His name we pray. Amen.
It is so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood.
Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Amen. Will you stand, please, for the fellowship day? And we invite you to stay here and to become gordito and get a good food, all right? Let's pray together. Father, you have given us a revival already. Two souls to say, yes, we confess, we obey. And who knows how many in the internet and how many later on in the tape. Father, we don't count heads how many, but we count two here that told us we believe. And we are grateful. We are grateful. Lord, only you can cause people to believe. We can try all we can and we never make it. Only you can cause, through the light of your word, to cause people to believe. And so we honor you and glorify your name today for the joy of seeing two souls saying, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those who already believe, Lord, what a joy we have that there is only one way into your presence, Jesus our Lord. In His name we praise and pray. Amen.